about authentic community, and this is in direct relation with us starting up our connection groups. But before I go any further, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you again just for the opportunity to gather here in your name, in your house. And Father, I pray that your spirit will just go out amongst us here today, and it will prompt our hearts and our minds to what we need to know and what we need to feel and what we need to believe. And Father, all those things culminating in you, because you're the one that we need to believe. You're the one that we need to feel. You're the one that we need to know. And so, Father, everything that's done here today, I am hoping will be honoring and glorifying to you. And Father, I ask for your spirit to speak through me here today, that it would not be my words, but it would be your words. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's a handout in your bulletin with some fill-in-the-blanks, if you so choose to do that. I'm going to apologize for the kind of weird outline. Some of you I know tend to be maybe a little anal. And so you'll be looking at the outline going, wait a minute, this really doesn't quite add up. It's okay. It's okay. I have those same issues with it, so. So, you know, you think about people as they come to know the Lord and then their process of growth. And you've probably seen this in your own life, that maybe when you first came to Christ, you know, things happen quickly and a lot of stuff happened and things just changed so much. But kind of as you aged in your spiritual growth, it kind of maybe waned or plateaued. Or maybe there was some of those things in your life that you just continued to struggle with. It's just like, God, why can I not get past this? It just feels sometimes like you might be spiritually stuck. What we do know from Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 is that if we are in Christ, we are a new creature. The old things have passed away and new things have come. Yet, isn't there times in your life when you're thinking, really? Because it doesn't feel that way. It feels like some of those old things just keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. What I really believe here is that we need a specific environment to grow to the place that God wants us to grow. And that environment is going to be the environment of authentic community. Think about the parable of the seed and the soil and the sower. That's in Luke 8. Where he talks about the sower going out to sow the seed and the different kinds of soil that it lands on. It said that some landed beside the road and it was trampled underfoot and the birds ate it. Some of the soil fell on the rocks and it grew up quickly, but then it died because there was no moisture. The roots just didn't have enough to survive. And then some of it fell amongst the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it out. But some of the soil landed in good soil. Some of the seed landed in good soil. And it grew up, and it says it produced a crop 100 times as great. I want us to think in those terms of, you know, the environment that things grow in. So there's, you know, there's the tundra. You go way up north and there's the tundra. Only certain things grow there, right? But some things grow really well there. And then there's the rainforest. Lots of stuff just grows like crazy there. But not everything will grow there. Because then you have the desert. And things will grow in the desert that won't grow in the rainforest. It won't grow in the tundra, but it grows in the desert. So there's these different environments that it takes for different things to grow. The greatest seed in the greatest soil cannot thrive in the wrong environment. The greatest seed being God's word, the greatest soil being a good and honest heart. But it can't thrive. I want you to, that term thrive. It can't thrive in the wrong environment. It has to have a specific environment. And we're going to look at some of this environment. Some of the environment that we need to grow in is sacrificial love. And Jesus gave this example to us. In fact, in John 13, 34, he commanded that we love one another. He says, love one another. It was a command. It wasn't just a, well, if you feel like it, you know, love one another. He says, love one another. And he gave us an example. He gave us an example that it wasn't just any kind of love, but it was the kind of love that he showed us. He goes on in the verse and says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So we look at the example of how did Jesus love us? He loved us to the point of death. He loved us with this amazing love, this sacrificial love. Another example that Jesus gives us in this term of the kind of environment, the kind of places where people need to grow and thrive is the way he taught. You think about these different places where he taught. He would teach the multitude, so thousands of people he would be teaching them. But he also had a smaller group, right? He had the 12. He had the 12 that he taught. And he had an even smaller group. He had the 3 that he taught. And it took those specific environments dealing with these guys specifically because they were the ones that were going to make the biggest difference in the world to start with, and they required this different kind of environment to thrive. And so we, wow, so we see these different environments that he taught in also. And then there's the practice. So how do we practice these things? In Acts 2, it talks about the early church. Acts 2, starting in verse 42. Excuse me. It talks about the early church and how they lived together, what they did. It talks about that they were devoted to one another, or they devoted themselves to one another and to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking bread, to prayer. They had all things in common. They continued with one mind in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, taking their meals together, praising God together. They were this unit, this cohesive unit that worked together in the authentic community to do what God wanted them to do. And what God wanted them to do was change the world. But it took authentic community, them working together and living together. And then we see a picture in history of different kinds of environments. So think of the small organizations, society, revival, those things that started had a specific environment. And that specific environment created this place where people came to know the Lord, where they could grow. One of them that really sticks out is, you know, the cell group movement in South Korea. Massive number of cell groups that started and the gospel just spread like crazy because there were people in small groups, in authentic community, living out their faith, and the people around them, their neighbors, saw it. They saw how they loved one another and cared for one another, and they wanted to be part of that. Authentic community is a spiritual ecosystem. It's where we will grow spiritually. It's where we will become more mature. So let's look at this authenticity. What is it to be authentic? The environment of authentic community. We have here connection groups or small groups. Now, the thing I want you to understand, though, is small groups do not equal authentic community. Because it's still about what are we willing to do? Are we willing to be authentic? Are we willing to love people beyond ourselves? Are we willing to love people like Jesus loved people and care for people like Jesus cared for people? So these groups need to be deep. They need to be sacrificial. They need to be authentic. Another thing that comes to mind as I think about this is the persecuted church. You look at the persecuted church around the world, and they have authentic communities. And it's for their survival that they know each other. They know who's in their group. And they're authentic with one another. They're real with one another. And those are the places where the church grows ridiculously. You think about, how does the church grow in an environment where persecution is happening daily? Because people are real in Christ. They're not putting on any fronts. They're loving sacrificially. They're loving one another. So this idea of authentic community, what is it and how do we get it? We're going to be looking at Romans 12, 9 through 13 specifically, but I want to start with more context of that. And so going back to Romans 12, 1, we see the context starting out with this idea of sacrifice. Idea of sacrifice. Romans 1, 12, 1 says, to present your bodies as living in holy, a holy sacrifice, acceptable God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That idea of sacrifice, giving ourselves to God as an act of worship. The other thing is to be transformed in your mind, not conformed to the world, but transformed. And then also our perspective. Down in verse 3, don't think too highly of yourself. Keep yourself in the proper perspective. And then the last one, verses 4 through 8, it talks about the function of the body, the church, and the gifts that God has given us and how we are to use them for the benefit of others. Authentic community is when the real you meets real needs for the right reason in the right way. The real you meets real needs for the right reason in the right way. So the real you. Who is the real you? Looking at Romans 12, 9. That we need to be absolutely real with one another. Not putting on this mask. Not putting out some projection. You know, coming into church and going, well, how are you doing this morning? Oh, man, I'm doing awesome. And you're not. But for whatever reason, we don't want to really say what's going on. Now, I realize we need to be careful because you're not just going to spill your guts to just everybody and anybody. You need to be discerning. And that's where small groups, connection groups are so important because now you've got this group of people that you get to really know. And you know what you can share there. And you know what you share there stays there. And that's where we thrive and that's where we really grow. There will be no authentic community unless the real you shows up. So verse 9, it says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let love be without hypocrisy. You know, as Christians, have you heard that word bandied about by non-Christians? Oh, you Christians, you're just a bunch of hypocrites. I don't want to go to church, you know. It's just you say one thing and you do another. Well, yeah, we do, don't we? But they use that for an excuse. Because God's not a hypocrite. That we need to be real. Take the mask off. Quit acting. That's that word hypocrisy is a term that was used for like actors, Greek actors. Because all the actors in Greece in that era were all men. But if you needed a woman in the play, they would use a mask, and they would like change their voice, and that's that idea of hypocrisy. It's not really what they are. Great picture in the Bible of hypocrisy. You ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? Talk about hypocrisy. So this was in Acts 4. And the story goes that, you know, the church, they're hanging out with one another, they're caring for one another. Barnabas comes and he sells this piece of property and he gives it all to the apostles to distribute. And Ananias and Sapphira think, and Barnabas, you know, kind of gets, oh, great, you know, Barnabas is awesome, he's great. And they think, ooh, you know, we have this kind of piece of property, we really don't need it, so why don't we sell it? But we don't have to give all the money, but they'll think we gave it all. And that's what they do. Together, they decide that they're going to give the money, and they're not going to really say necessarily that they gave it all. But what happens is, Peter confronts Ananias and says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And what happened? Boom. He drops dead. So then Sapphira comes wandering along, wondering, well, where's Ananias? He should have been back by now. She comes along and walks in, and Peter says, Sapphira, is this what you did? Yes. And he says, the young men that carried your husband out dead are now coming to pick you up, and boom, she drops dead. You think that got the church's attention? Hypocrisy. It's that idea. You know, Jesus talked about the leaven, how the leaven leavens the whole lump. The hypocrisy in the church, if it wasn't dealt with immediately and swiftly, would have spread through the whole church. And it would have been a mess. It would have killed it. The real you. And then it goes on to say, excuse me, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. It's this idea of purity. James 4:7 says, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need to look at sin and abhor it. This idea of abhor would be like, you ever had, you know, a thing of milk got left in the very back of the refrigerator for a while, and you find it, and you're like, oh, there's milk in here, and you open it up, and you pour it, and it goes glop. And then all of a sudden, the aroma fills the room. That's this idea of abhor. Have horror, utterly detest. But sometimes what happens in our human nature is, well, gee, I wonder how close I can get to sinning and not really sin. You know, how close can I get? We spend so much energy on sin management instead of allowing God to transform us. We try to hide the sin. We're constantly dealing with the guilt, and it's exhausting. Where if we just got real and confessed it to God and confessed it to a close group of people who would help us, it wouldn't be so exhausting. And we could deal with it and get through it and maybe finally get over it. What kind of junk do you allow in your life? You know, there's a lot of stuff out there that really we shouldn't be spending any of our time or energy on. Books, TV, movies, relationships. There's so many things that distract us from God. We need to abhor evil and cling to what is good. This idea of cling is the same idea as when a man and woman get married and they cleave to one another. They're literally glued together. Amen. Glued. You ever got super glue on your fingers? And if you just pull it apart, what happens? It's part of it sticks here, and it just is nasty. It rips. And that's that idea. It's glued, stuck together so well that you can't separate it without damaging it. So what we should be thinking instead of how close can I get to sin without sinning is how close can I get to God? How close can I get to God, and how close can I stay to God? 1 Thessalonians 5 says, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Abhor evil. Cling to what is good. I really believe that one of the most powerful and significant experiences you can have in your life is being in a connection group that's authentic. Being in this small group of people where you can be real. A place where you can be safe. Where you know that people love you and where you can love on people. And the real you shows up. The authentic you shows up. Not this projection, not some mask. And that's where you can make the greatest spiritual progress. The real you with your frustrations and your hurts and your struggles, the problems you have, and you can bring those and you won't be judged, but you'll be loved. Where you can have support, where you can have accountability, and occasionally a rebuke. Where you know that if someone says to you, boy, I don't know, is that really maybe what you should do? That they're doing it in love because they love you. Because they're wanting to look out for your best interest. This is fundamental to authentic community. Instead of in our flesh trying to follow a divine model, which will only burn us out, that we need to be in a group of people who are authentic and real, and we can be that way with them. That's where we can really thrive and grow and get past some of that stuff that we've just been struggling with for years. So this is part one. I'm going to finish this next week. We're going to continue on in Romans 12 and talk about this idea of authentic community. You know, this was a message that I had heard from Chip Ingram, and for me, there is so many times I'll be driving somewhere and I'll hear something on the radio and it's somebody talking about something and I think, wow, that's what's going on at church right now. And he was talking about this authentic community, and immediately to my mind comes, well, we're trying to get these connection groups up and going, and man, does this fit or not? And so I have tried to boil this down to make it something that we can use here, but I just absolutely believe this. That we need to be in a small group of people. That, you know, this you may not think that this is a big bunch of people, but it really is. It's really hard to know absolutely everybody here. And to be in a relationship with them where you feel totally comfortable with telling them anything. You need a smaller group of people where you can do that. Where you've learned that they truly love you and care for you. And that when they say something to you, it is out of love. So, if you're not signed up for a connection group, this is where the ad comes in. You can still sign up for a connection group. Doug is here. I think I saw him wandering around back there. So Doug Stewart is here, and he's the head of our connection groups. And he would be glad to talk to you about that and get you signed up. And I can't encourage you enough to try it. To be involved in a consistent group of people where you can live life together. You know, so many times, you know, in the church, I think really a lot of it, the church in America, just the way that our culture is, and I believe that the enemy has worked on us on this too. You know, that we come here, we have a seat, we visit a little bit, we sing some songs, listen to me babble on about whatever, and then we go home. And that's it. We don't really connect with one another. We don't really develop, you know, the kind of community that we need to have, that we really aren't doing life together. And that's what I saw, you know, this picture of the early church. They literally, they were doing life together. I mean, they were spending so much time together. And they got to know each other. And that's where the safety was. That's where the safety was. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this group of people and how you have preserved this place over the years. And Father, I pray that we can continue to grow spiritually, that this can be a place where we can thrive and really become the disciples that God wants us to be. And so, Father, I pray that as you help me in working through talking about it, that you will help your people have understanding and see how important it is that they need to be real with one another, that we need to bear one another's burdens. That's what your word says. That we can be real and authentic, that we can love on one another, that we can encourage one another, and sometimes rebuke one another. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Want to go over